When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is up, Steelers Nation? Thank you so much for jumping on to another episode of All Steelers Talk. I'm Noah Strackbine, joined by my main man, Steven Thompson. Find us on youtube.com/AllSteelersTalker. Subscribe anywhere you get your podcast. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they got their guy. And sitting there watching Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan talk about the addition of Troy Faiutanu last night, I got to say, they might have got a good one. The Steelers, with the 20th pick in the NFL draft, sat there, waited, didn't make moves as offensive players were flying off the board. And, well, they got a guy that they believed was a top 10 player. Washington offensive tackle Troy Faiutanu heads to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, it's a beautiful day here in the Berg. I think every fan is excited. You were there last night. What were your thoughts? How are you feeling? And what do you think of Troy Faiutanu?
I'm excited. I think you hit on a good point. I mean, just listening to Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan talk about him, I think Mike Tomlin said about three or four different times, just watch the film, just turn on the tape. And I think that's as clear a message as you can get about the quality of the player you're getting. And then I think listening to him speak, seeing his reaction to being picked by the Steelers, I think that was really pure and that was really fun. And getting to watch those moments are really kind of the highlight of the draft. I mean, obviously we talk about the football side of it all the time, but getting to watch this guy like live out his dream, like literally his dream.
Yeah, literally his dream.
Yeah, a Steelers fan, a huge Troy Polamalu fan, and this, you know, the draft just lucky enough it falls his way and it falls the Steelers way and they really get their guy. It was a fun night. It seems like Troy's going to be an interesting dude to hear from when he's in the locker room and everything like that. So I'm excited for us from a media perspective and then for the Steelers from a football perspective too.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, talking to that guy last night, he was, I mean, just from a media side, incredibly well-spoken and honest, and you love both of those things. But then you talk about the football side, you talk about his love for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I thought what stood out the most to me talking to him was that everybody was trying to, hey, you know, you were falling a little bit on the board. People had medical concerns for you. And he was kind of just like, I think it just happened the exact way it should have happened. This is, it doesn't matter that I went 20th or I went 10th. I fell to the team I wanted to go to. I think sometimes if you have that perspective, it just makes everything so much better. There's doesn't have to be a chip on your shoulder. It's more so just, I cannot believe that it all worked out the exact way that I wanted it to work out. And then just like you said, I mean, sitting there, Omar Khan's reaction where he said every 10 minutes that passed was the longest 10 minutes of my life. Every one of us laughed and you immediately knew like the Steelers wanted this guy probably from pick 10. And we're like, is there any chance that this is going to actually happen? And then as it got closer and closer, I would imagine the nerves were getting crazy. And they started probably thinking, hey, this is actually a real possibility. This is going to happen. I was a little surprised to see him fall to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I thought Armarius Mims was going to be the guy there at 20. I thought Graham Barton was going to be a guy that they would have looked at because I thought the Cincinnati Bengals were going to go with Faiutanu. They did not. They went Armarius Mims, left the door open for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He does have some medical concerns. He does play the left side. There are plenty of questions here. Let's dive into, I mean, obviously where he fits and what he's going to do for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You got him and Broderick Jones. I think those are the long-term starters. I'm sorry, Dan Moore, but I don't know what happens from here. I would not expect him to be a starter in 2024. Do you look at Faiutanu as the left tackle, the right tackle, and how do you see the offensive line shaking up for the Steelers this summer?
Yeah, like you said, no disrespect to Dan Moore, but I don't think they would have drafted offensive tackles in back-to-back first rounds if they really believed in him as a long-term starter. That said, I do see Faiutanu as the right tackle. I think we heard from not just Mike Tomlin, but Omar Khan and, you know, Art Rooney at the end of the season and at the beginning of the offseason that they believe in Broderick as a left tackle. That's what they drafted him to be. You know, obviously there were some extenuating circumstances that kept him from you know, really realizing that role fully last year. But I think this year they're going to really try to integrate him as a full-time left tackle. That's where he's going to stick for most of his career, and I think that's what they see him as. And it works out that you kind of have the versatility of a guy like Fautanu who will be comfortable playing on either side of the line. I mean, shoot, some people think that he would be comfortable playing center or guard as well. So
yeah,
I don't think this is going to be as hard a transition for Fautanu as it is for maybe some other, you know, for different other offensive linemen. I just think he has such a depth of experience at a bunch of different positions that it's not necessarily going to be second nature, but it's not going to be like it's the first time he's ever played right tackle or the first time that he's ever, you know, seen a different position. This guy hasn't been locked into the same thing for the past 4 years or anything like that. He's got,
yeah,
you know, real viable versatility to his game.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the best thing for the Steelers right now is that they got two guys who are versatile, who could play both sides of the line. I mean, Broderick Jones talked constantly about how at Georgia, at least once a week, you were playing a different position just because they had to make sure that you were ready at that position in case you had to step in. Fautanu is a guy who played, I mean, pretty much everywhere during his Washington career, stepped in any position they believe, and every team really believed that he could play at all positions. This is, I mean, ideally for the Pittsburgh Steelers, this is as good as it gets. You could have said, oh, Marius Mims, he's a true right tackle. J.C. Latham, he's a true right tackle. I think for where they sat with the 20th pick and the options that they had there, Fautanu's a guy that comes in here, and it does not matter how you shape it out or how you look at the offensive line. They have two franchise tackles that they feel really, really good about, and they can move both of them wherever. And then, I mean, at this point, they still have options at center, and we'll dive into that, but you could be looking at an offensive line in 2024 for the Pittsburgh Steelers that have a franchise right tackle, a franchise left tackle, most likely a franchise right guard in James Daniels if they extend him. And I expect them to extend him. I mean, he's still young. You got Isaac Seumalo for another 2 years and then Nate Herbig sitting around, and maybe you have a franchise center. And then you got a guy like Darnell Washington who's just ready to block at any time, pretty much another tackle. I mean, this offensive line in 2 years, really, maybe three, but really in the last 2 years, they have put so many pieces together that the trenches have gone from, I mean, you weren't here for the days of Trey Turner and Kevin Dotson and Dan Moore and Kendrick Green as rookies. And let me tell you, they were bad days. They were bad days, my friend. When Zach Banner and Chukwuma Okorafor were competing for starting offensive lineman positions, and then it turned into two rookies, neither of them were first-round picks, 33-year-old guard who could barely stay healthy. It was bad times. For how far they have come, I think is crazy. And to get a guy like Fautanu at pick number 20, I mean, Mike Tomlin's smile. I've been there for, I mean, the last five NFL drafts and the last five first-round picks. And once in a while, that smile is really big. The Broderick Jones smile was really big. This one might have topped them all. Like, this might have been the reaction from Tomlin that really was like, I cannot believe that we actually got this guy. And I mean, maybe a steal at pick number 20.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like that was the kind of sense I got, was that Khan and Tomlin, they kind of couldn't believe that they were getting away with this. I mean, this was a guy who could have gone top 10. He was a projected kind of fringe top 12 prospect. He falls all the way to 20, even with a huge run of offensive tackles in the first
crazy
round.
Crazy run. I mean, we were talking about Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean being like, oh, well, maybe you have to go because there's no defensive guys. And they still got to steal at offense.
Yeah, and it was crazy. I mean, I don't know if it's that knee issue that dropped him, what it was, but like I took tackle completely off the board for the Steelers by around, I don't know, like I guess 9 o'clock or something. They maybe picked around 10 or 10:30. And, you know, well before they were even on the clock, I thought, oh, tackle, it's just the way the board is lining up, it just doesn't make sense here. Yep. And Fautanu kept falling and falling and falling and falling. You know, you figured like if they wanted a tackle, they were going to have to pick between like Jordan Morgan and Tyler Guyton. And it was like fringe second round names. And instead, they get a guy who was at least a top 10 talent, if not, you know, could have been a top 10 pick, you know?
Yes, 100%. 100%. I think if the draft shaked out where J.C. Latham and Troy Fautanu switched spots, where Fautanu went, what was Tennessee, 7th, I believe,
Yeah.
I don't think anybody would have had a conversation of like, oh man, dude, what a stretch. What a reach there by the Tennessee Titans. I think they would have just let it be like, oh yeah, you know, that guy does have a ton of potential to get to 20. I mean, crazy that the Pittsburgh Steelers got their hands on him. It's there for everybody who was talking about, oh, you got to trade back. And I had a lot of people who were hitting me up like, I can't believe they didn't move back and get a couple of picks. The board was so stacked. I mean, Omar Khan said it during his pre-draft press conference. You don't trade back if you have a good player available. And I think the Steelers' number one player on the board was Fautanu, and they went and got him. Fantastic move, fantastic day one for the Pittsburgh Steelers in the 2024 NFL Draft. Day two is upon us. We will head back to UPMC Rooney Sports Complex in the Southside tonight. We'll talk to Troy Fautanu for the first time in person. We talked to him last night, and it was pretty cool. We'll talk to him in person today, and then it will be day two of the NFL Draft, rounds two and three. I mean, before we get into some top options, what are your expectations for tonight? Do you see them sit and put at 51? Do you see them trying to hunt for a trade? I mean, there are talks of wide receivers and new wide receivers that may be available via trade as well. We'll dive into that in a second, but where do you stand with the Pittsburgh Steelers in day two?
Yeah, I guess I can't say for sure what they're going to do, but I know what I want them to do. I feel like I really want this team to trade up, to be quite honest. I really want them to try to land. I mean, you just look at the names that are sitting at the top of the second round right now, and it's unbelievable. These are guys that I was almost certain would go in the first round. You know, like Kool-Aid McKinstry, Cooper DeJean, you know, A.D. Mitchell, guys like that. I mean, this is – even Zach Frazier. I mean, I don't think either of us thought that he was going to be a first rounder, but I mean, that's a guy who – Jackson Powers Johnson as well. I can't believe I forgot that name too. I think there is an opportunity here for the Steelers to essentially steal another first round pick. And that's what I would really like for them to do. Just the opportunity to maybe land, you know, a Frazier, Powers Johnson. I think that opportunity is too great to pass up. And worst case scenario, if you trade up into the first, you know, let's say seven or eight picks, there's a chance you're landing one of, you know, McKinstry, DeJean, A.D. Mitchell, Frazier, Powers Johnson. Like, there are so many names there that a first-round talent is going to fall to you if you get aggressive, if you try to move up to those first few picks in the second round.
Yes, 100%. And I fully anticipate them at least trying as hard as they could possibly try to come up with a trade. And I think what was interesting last night is you saw teams move constantly. Nobody gave up a massive haul. It was all smaller round picks or next year's picks, and that immediately set my alarms off of, I think Omar Khan might be able to get a move done that you're still sitting there with two third-rounders, maybe a fourth-rounder, and you're feeling pretty good about the Steelers, and they just climbed up in the second round, and who knows what they're going to do in round three. I agree with you. I think I somewhat expect a trade up. I will say this. If they're going to sit there, and let me ask you this question too. If they're going to sit there, I think maybe Zach Frazier might fall to them just the way that the board fell last night. Do you think that's a possibility? And do you think it's a risk that they would even consider taking because they just feel, okay, maybe we'll just get our hands on a center. We don't have to move, and then we can figure the rest out without giving up future draft picks.
I'm much more optimistic on Frazier falling to them at this point than I was last night. Just only one of the centers that people really expected to go in the first round went in the first round. So you're just pushing everyone down a few spots. I'd still be really stunned though if Frazier falls all the way to 51 without, you know, having the draft order in front of me and you know, team needs in front of me. It feels like center, you know, was a need for a bunch of teams that passed on it in the first round. So I think there's going to be a run of teams that are center needy and are going to spring for one. And with really only, I mean, in my mind, Frazier and Powers Johnson are the only guys that I'm looking at as we can plug these guys in right away and feel comfortable with them starting week one. You know, if you're settling for, you know, a Cedric Van Pran or a Hunter Norzad, like that's a project and you've still got to go find a veteran, in free agency somewhere. So, I guess it's possible that they go that route, that they look for more of a project and go the veteran route. But I don't know when potential franchise guys are there for the taking. I think you got to get aggressive and move up for them. The Steelers might be comfortable waiting around for Frazier. I am not. I would get more aggressive.
So let me toss this situation at you, because I think this is an actual possibility. I think there's a chance that the Pittsburgh Steelers find themselves with 2 second-round picks. And I think that they might be sitting there, depending, because people are going to toss out names like A.D. Mitchell. I think A.D. Mitchell is probably going to end up in Buffalo. They toss out names like Ladd McConkey, or, I mean, Troy Franklin's still on the board. Keon Coleman's still on the board. There are still so many wide receiver names that if the Steelers want to wait it out, I think their third round pick, or maybe they'll have to move up in the third round, but I think they could wait till the third round to get those guys that they were looking at. The, Malachi Corleys, the maybe a Jalen McMillan, maybe a Tyler Polk. Like, maybe there's, or Jalen Polk, excuse me. Maybe it's those guys. You know, maybe they could just sit around and wait and then move up in the second round and get their center. I could also see it where they're maybe trying to make a move to say, why don't we move up into the second round with one of our third round picks and get a second round pick a little bit higher than where we are, try to get a center and then see what wide receivers are still on the board. Cause there's no chance that all those wide receiver names are gone by the time the Steelers pick at 51. There's just too many other great names on the board. I mean, Cooper DeJean's still on there. You still have, I mean, Newton out of Illinois is still out there. You still have all the wide receivers. You still have some offensive tackles. You still have, I mean, a number of cornerbacks still on the board. There's so much talent still in this draft that I think the Steelers might be able to sit at 51 for at least one position. I don't think that center, I agree with you that they might have to move up for a center, and I think that's the right move. But if they're thinking wide receiver or even corner, they might be able to sit there and be like, yeah, well, if we wait it out, I bet just somebody good's here, and they might get another steal in the second round.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair assessment that the, you know, I went into this draft thinking that second round, that has to be a receiver. You got to go offensive line with your first pick, but you cannot afford to waste any time on a wide receiver in the second round. But I think you're right. The way the board has fallen, there just wasn't kind of, I don't know, I guess there wasn't really an expected run of wide receivers, but you're still looking at the board today, and it's, I'm a little stunned at all the talent that's still there for them. Think the fact that Mitchell fell behind Xavier Leggett and Xavier Worthy, kind of didn't realize there were two Xaviers there, but yeah. But
the and fact Ricky that Pearsall.
And Ricky Pearsall too. The fact that those guys, that Mitchell fell behind all of those guys, tells me that this is a receiver class that actual GMs and the front offices aren't nearly as high on as the rest of the viewing public, I guess, was.
Yes, I agree. Or they think that it's just as deep as guys like Mike Tomlin see it, where they're like, why would we rush for a wide receiver when there are so many options that we don't have to rush for a wide receiver? I think that's why guys like Brian Thomas and everybody started to fall, is you just, I mean, everybody's like, well, if Brian Thomas is there, there's no way you could let him pass. I think everybody's going, at least those in the NFL were sitting around going, yeah, I mean, I get it. If Brian Thomas is there, that's a great talent, but like, we could wait it out. You know, we could wait for an Xavier Leggett. We could wait for a Ricky Pearsall. We feel good about that. We could wait for a Ladd McConkey. Like, there are more options than just 5 or 6 guys. And I think NFL teams are looking at it going, yeah, there's no rush here, man. We'll figure it out. There'll be somebody there that we could add whenever we're up. I do expect the Steelers to make a move. Wide receiver, I do expect on their radar, but I agree with you. I think center is, I would be real shocked if the Steelers didn't walk out of the second round without a center. And man, to go Troy Faiutanu and then maybe a Jaxson Powers-Johnson or a Zach Frazier, what a win for the Pittsburgh Steelers. What a win for the Pittsburgh Steelers in round two. We'll finish the show with our predictions for the second round and maybe the third round, but I want to talk about a potential wide receiver trade, because those are still hot, heavy, and the rumors are flying all over the place, and we're in the midst of it, so we got to talk about it. Up until this point, it was Brandon Ayuk. It was all Brandon Ayuk. If the Steelers were going to make a move, they were going to go with San Francisco. Maybe they'll sneak their way in there with Denver. I still think that's maybe an option. Now, as of this morning, or really late last night, according to the San Francisco Chronicle's Mike Silver, maybe it's Deebo Samuel. Maybe Deebo Samuel is the guy that the 49ers are more interested in trading than Brandon Ayuk. You hear that? Do you think that's even an option for the Pittsburgh Steelers? And do you think the interest is there as heavily as it is for a guy like Brandon Ayuk, or was rumored to be there for a guy like Brandon Ayuk?
I don't think the interest would be as strong from the Steelers, because I think they are, I don't know, Debo plays more of like a slot hybrid role. I mean, he's not going to get a ton of carries like he would, like he would in San Francisco, just with Najee and Jalen there. You know, he plays the slot, but the Steelers, I think, more desperately need an outside guy. I feel like that's why they thought Ayuk was the better fit. I don't know. It's interesting because I think the price tag is going to be a lot lower on Samuel than it is on Ayuk. Yes. So it's going to be a more affordable option, but just the fit, I think, makes it a little weirder. I don't know. I don't think the Steelers are going to be as enthusiastic or aggressive going after Debo Samuel as they were for Brandon Ayuk. Like, don't get me wrong, like, Debo would, I think, vastly improve their offense. He would make them a lot better. But if the asking price is comparable to what Ayuk was going for, or maybe even a little bit less, I still don't know if that's worth the move for the Steelers, especially because, like, given what we just talked about, like, there's so much wide receiver talent loaded in this draft. Like, why would you surrender picks? Why would you? I don't know. I guess I'm arguing against myself a little bit, because I did say last week or earlier this week that, you know, Brandon Ayuk would be the best player the Steelers could take in this draft or could use a draft pick on. And I suppose that's true for Debo Samuel as well, but it wouldn't just be one pick, you know, like, it would still be multiple picks. It would be part of your future. And it does. That does also just doesn't seem like the direction the Steelers are headed in right now. You know,
I think there are pros and cons to it. I think there's part of it that makes sense and part of it that doesn't. I think the part that does, as shocking as this might sound, is the fact that Debo's already, he's got 2 years on his deal left. It's like $27 million cap hits, but then it's done. And I think that honestly works out better for the Pittsburgh Steelers than to deal with the cap hit this year and then have at least 3 more years in the future to have to work with Brandon Ayuk, where it's just, okay, this is 2 years. We're in the Super Bowl window. Let's try to make it happen. This is better than a third round pick. We could find a wide receiver in 2 years. There are no questions. I think that aspect of it makes a lot of sense for the Steelers. I agree with you, though. I don't think that Debo fits in the Pittsburgh Steelers scheme the way that, or offense the way that Brandon Ayuk would. I think that if they didn't have all the weapons that they already had, Debo would make a lot of sense. He would be a guy that you look at an Arthur Smith offense where it's ground and pound football. We're going to utilize gadget guys. Debo's a gadget guy. This is a perfect fit. I think that he comes in here and does a lot, but you already have your Najee Harris and your Jalen Warren and your Cordarrelle Patterson and your Calvin Austin. Like, you got your gadget guys. You got your guys that you could utilize all over the field. You need a wide receiver. I also don't know if I agree that Debo would be the best option. Like, I'm not very high on Debo Samuel as a player. I'm not even close to Brandon Ayuk. I mean, people hype him up and he could do a lot. I get that. And he scores a ton of touchdowns. And I think that that definitely plays a role into it. But this guy's had one 1,000-yard season. One. You know, he hasn't, I guess, two if you count, like, if you combine stats, he's had two 1,000-yard seasons. But it's never really been like a year where, outside of his 1,400-yard receiving year where he signed a massive deal, where you're like, man, dude, Debo is the most dominant player on the field at all times. Like, I think last year, Brandon Ayuk kind of surpassed him as the number one in San Francisco. And I just think the upside of what you're going to get, like, I feel like Debo might be real close to being on the downwind of his career. And I don't know if the Steelers are going to be willing to take that chance. And maybe I'm too harsh on Debo, but that's my thoughts.
I was going to say, I don't know if I completely agree with that. I mean, he's had 950 more yards in every, he's played, you know, 13 or more games in 4 out of his 5 seasons.
Yeah.
You know, whenever he's done that, he's had more than 950 yards and more than 5 touchdowns. I still think Debo's got some juice, and he's only 27. Like, I don't know. I think he's still got a little ways to go before he kind of hits the downswing of his career. But I do understand the concerns. I mean, he's had some injuries as well. Like, you know, only playing 7 games in 2020 and only, you know, 13 in 2022. Like, there's some concerns there. But yeah, I think there are other reasons that I'm less high on Debo. I think Debo to the Steelers. I still think he's a very, very good player. I think.
Yeah, I might be judging him too hard. I might be, but in the conversation of him versus Ayuk, I don't think we're far apart on. I think I'd rather Ayuk. I think that's a better move.
Definitely.
For the Pittsburgh Steelers. Do you expect the Steelers to still be in the hunt for any trade, whether it's Cortland Sutton? And at what point do you think that changes to either a maybe or a maybe not, depending on where you stand right now?
Honestly, I think I think they're in on Sutton. I think that would be a great fit, and I love that for them. And I think, like, you know, the combination of price tag and production is kind of too good for them to not be involved in that one for Cortland Sutton. I think if he gets traded, it'll be before today. I don't think they are, like, before they use these picks, quite honestly.
Yeah.
Like, I think this second round pick would have to be used on, would have to be a part of that deal. Unless you literally want to trade, I would assume the rest of your picks in this draft, quite honestly. Like, maybe you keep one.
Here's four and 2 6 rounders, and there it is. Have fun.
Yeah. Like, I think a trade for Sutton would have to come before the draft starts tonight, before the second and third round start tonight.
Yeah, I agree. I think that they would try to trade Sutton before. I could see it maybe in the third round. I think Sutton for a third round pick makes a lot of sense. I think Sutton for
that's
a second.
It?
Yeah, yeah. Sutton for a third. And I mean, what did Stephon Diggs went for a second, you know, a second and a sixth.
But Cortland Sutton doesn't, like, you know, hate where he is, does he?
No, but I think Denver hates him.
Okay.
I think Denver wants him.
Fair enough.
I think Sean Payton's in a clear house. This is my team. Get out of here. We're Bo Nix, baby. You know.
Wow. I feel so bad for your dad. That's
terrible. He texted me. For everybody, I mean, if you've been watching the show long enough, you know my dad is a big Denver Broncos fan. We were sitting there. Me and Steven were sitting there at the table. And we're ahead. Like, we know the picks, like, two picks before it's on TV. And my dad's texting me, and he goes, man, please God, not Bo Nix. And then he texted me like 3 minutes later. He's like, motherfucker. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I was like, I had to let you experience that in real time. I couldn't do that to you. It is. It's a tough time. But I think Sean Payton's like, hey, let's just get as many draft picks and add as much as we possibly can. And I also don't believe the Broncos have a second round pick. So I think they might be looking to gear up on those third round picks to maybe move up into the second round. I do. I think that they could get Sutton for kind of cheap just because of where Denver is and what the market is for wide receiver trades right now, because it's not as high as I expected it to be. Especially, like, if Brandon Ayuk's going and Debo Samuel's going for a second, Cortland Sutton's going for a third. You know, he's not, you're not going to be able to talk your way into that one. I could see Sutton. I think Sutton's more of a likely possibility than any other one right now. I don't know. I think I may be like a 40 to 50% belief that it could happen. I think that the Steelers might try to hunker in there and say, let's get a Keon Coleman and just ball out with young wide receivers and Russell Wilson. And I think that could work depending on where they go. But I don't know if I'm totally sold. And shout out Big Don. Hope you're hanging in there this morning, because I know you're not doing well. All right, before we head out of here, day two. They got three picks as of right now, 51, 84, 98. Give me your prediction for how today goes down for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Massive day. Steelers give up. Let me pull up the draft picks that they have right now. I think they give up pick 195 and pick 98. They move up in the second round. I think around, you know, that fifth or sixth pick in the second round, either the Chargers or the Titans.
Okay.
They trade back, build a little draft capital. Steelers move up. They take a receiver. I mean, you know, who's going to be there? I don't think A.D. Mitchell's going to be there.
No.
I wouldn't reach that high for Keon Coleman. But I am looking at, like, a Troy Franklin. I think a Troy Franklin is interesting.
That's a good name.
So I'm looking there. But I think, honestly, if they move up, it ends up being a center. I'll take Zach Frazier with that 37th overall pick. We'll move on. We'll feel real good about it. And then you address wide receiver in the third round. You're hoping, you know, hopefully, like, a Roman Wilson, I feel like, could fall that far. I'm not as high as Malachi Corley as some other people are. So I feel like he's still going to be an option with that third round pick, but we'll see. I think it goes, you know, Frazier, whatever center you can get after trading up, and then you figure out what you can do later in the third.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I think a trade with the Titans is where you should pinpoint the Steelers right now. Carolina and Tennessee need centers, so you got to be saying at least maybe one of them is eyeing Jackson Powers Johnson or Zach Frazier. I could also see maybe a 37th with L.A. if you're saying, hey, let's make a move with L.A. I think that one might be a little bit more difficult just because they're going to understand what you're doing there. I could see a trade there. I don't know. I might bump it up a little bit. I might go 84 and like next year's fifth to move into the second round. Maybe
fine by me.
Maybe 84 next year's fourth. I don't know where I stand there, but I'm going to say a move up to either 5 or 6 in the second round, LA or Tennessee. The Steelers go center. They get Jackson Powers Johnson. They feel good about Jackson Powers Johnson. They sit tight at 51. I think there's a chance Ladd McConkey falls to them at 51, and I think they would run to the podium if Ladd McConkey is still on the board. I could see that being a possibility. I'm going to go, they move up to get Jackson Powers Johnson. They sit tight. They get Ladd McConkey or a sleeper. Jalen McMillan's on the board there. And then at 98, I don't know, maybe a guy like Andrew Phillips is sitting there and they feel real good about Andrew Phillips. Maybe a guy like Mason Smith sitting there and they feel good about Mason Smith, but I could see them going defense and adding to the defense.
I was going to say, I think that first third round pair that, so you think at 51,
I think 84 is gone. Yeah.
Okay. 84 is gone. Okay. So at 51, you're thinking they go defense or
no 51 Ladd McConkey.
Okay. 90. Yeah. Oh, 98. Yeah. I think they got to go defense at 91. I mean, if you go three straight defensive picks, you got to find a corner somewhere.
Yeah.
If Adrian Phillips or Mason Smith are there, I'm expecting Mason Smith to go a little high. Yeah. Go a little higher than people are expecting. So I would take Andrew Phillips in an absolute heartbeat. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, no questions asked. I could see that happening for the Steelers. I think that's my predictions. It's going to be, I think both of us could just agree and everybody should be watching for it. Today's going to be nuts. It's not going to be where I get to sit here and wait until 51. Keep your eyes glued to the screen because there's going to be some action that happens. And we are very, very excited for it. With that said, we're heading out of here. Thank you guys so much for jumping on to another episode of All Steelers Talk. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/AllSteelersTalk. Check us out anywhere you get your podcasts. And as always, find all of our work at allsteelers.com. We are headed back to the South Side today, so make sure that you are keeping up with everything we post, write, report, whatever you are looking for on all of the Troy Faiutanu news and all of their day two picks for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Enjoy a beautiful day in the Berg and a great day two of the 2024 NFL Draft. Peace.